Hello, everyone. Welcome to our weekly Course in Miracles study group. This is Corinne, and as always, I'm so glad and grateful that you all are here. So let's begin our study time together with dropping into silence. Turning our attention from without to within. Within our mind, with deep within our being, is the thought of God who has thought of us, each one of us. We'll be reading about this tonight, and this thought has not changed despite our forgetting, and the thought will be the same when we remember. We are a thought in the mind of God, changeless, eternal, whole, happy, and wholly joyous. This holy instant we give to you. Be you in charge, for we would follow you, certain that your direction gives us peace. If we need a word, a thought, or a tranquil, open mind, these are the gifts that Holy Spirit gives. And we gladly place Spirit in charge by our request. Sensing that love in your heart and that light in your mind, coming together to our perception of right here, right now. And if you'd like, taking a nice deep breath in and out. Oh, so much gratitude. My only quick announcement is that I have a podcast coming out this week with Dr. Bob Rosenthal, who is the co-president of the Foundation for Inner Peace. So he had a book come out recently. We'll be chatting about that. And that's all I got. So I'll share the page references. We, just as a reminder, are reading, and I say we because tonight Paul and I are going to share the reading. So Paul will read our first paragraph, and then I'll share some thoughts, and we'll alternate from there. The complete and annotated edition, the paragraph breaks are different. So if you have the CE, it looks like we're starting a brand new section. If you don't have the CE and you're reading from a different edition, you're actually starting mid-section. So if you have the CE, the purple book by Circle of Atonement, please go to page 882, and our subheading is The Thought God Holds of You. If you have the Foundation for Inner Peace edition, which is the most widely distributed edition that is blue, it is chapter 30, part 3, paragraph number 6. It starts with the sentence, "Nothing that God knows not exists." And then if you have the Sparkle edition, go to page 689, and it's the second paragraph on the page. And then the Course in Miracles Society original edition is chapter 30, part 4, paragraph 43. So without further ado, Paul, do you want to read our first paragraph for us?
Sure. Let's do it.
Thank you.
All right. The thought God holds of you. Nothing that God knows not exists. And what he knows exists forever, changelessly. For thoughts endure as long as does the mind that thought of them. And in the mind of God, there is no ending, nor a time in which his thoughts were absent, or could suffer change. Thoughts are not born and cannot die. They share the attributes of their Creator, nor have they a separate life apart from Him. The thoughts you think are in your mind, and you are in the mind which thought of you. And so there are no separate parts in what exists within God's mind. It is forever one, eternally united, and at peace.
Thank you, Paul. Oh, I like this. I love having a break from reading. I might do this every week. Thank you. So let's talk about this first paragraph, because I find a lot of comfort from these sentences in this paragraph. So first of all, nothing that God knows not exists. So if it exists, God must know it. If God doesn't know it, it actually doesn't exist. And what He knows exists forever and changelessly. So what He knows, I love how it says changelessly. What He knows exists forever. There's the eternity. There's the eternal nature to what He knows. Now, of course, we can look around in the world and nothing we see here is eternal. Everything perishes at some point and returns to dust from where it came, which is another course quote somewhere else in the book. But it goes on to say, for thoughts endure as long as does the mind that thought of them. And in the mind of God, there is no ending, nor a time in which His thoughts were absent or could suffer change. I just find that so striking because, again, all we know is change here. And here it's saying that the thoughts in the mind of God, there's no ending to them. There's never been a time in which His thoughts were absent, and there's never been a time in which the thoughts of God could change. I love then how it says thoughts are not born and cannot die. They share their attributes of their Creator. And then it goes on to say, actually, this jumped out at me as you were reading, Paul. The thoughts you think are in your mind. Okay, so the thoughts we think are in our mind, as we are in the mind of God, which thought of us. So what occurred to me reading that is that we have distinct thoughts, right? And yet we could say that all these thoughts are one in our mind. So this just reminds me of the whole, is there one son or many sons issue, where I don't think we can fully understand that with our limited brains and our limited perceptions, but I take that as we are individual thoughts in the mind of God. Yes, there's a oneness attribute to it, but we still retain a sense of being. We're not just like, you know, cosmic mush. we're these individual thoughts in the mind of God that cannot suffer change, that are not born and cannot die. And I just find that incredibly beautiful. So let's open it up. Anybody have any comments or questions or anything strike you so far? Paul, there's part of me that wants to. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Who is that?
It's Sue.
Hi, Sue.
Hi. I'm just thinking about you. You were referencing the oneness or sonship or the individual or whatever. I've been reading lately about how the thought now is that the creation happens with light, sound, vibration, color, all of those. That is what creates matter. Anyway, I think I've referenced my journal before, but there was something that came through once about how each of us are an individual note or tone, have a quality of vibration that is unique to us. We are all the same. We are all in the symphony. We are all singing But we, you know, it says, you know, you'll sing praises to God. You really won't sing. You'll just vibrate your note, and it'll just be perfect, this perfect, unlimited praise. And because we are all individual, we're all the same, but we're like in a symphony where, you know, like there's violins and there's woodwinds and all of that. They all come together to make one beautiful sound.
Mm, I love that.
Isn't that neat?
That's gorgeous. That's really gorgeous. Thank you for that, Sue. That is just such a great example to try to make something understandable that's rather abstract. Wonderful.
Hi, it's Audrey.
Hi, Audrey.
I would just like to add to that. I just had a thought as Sue was saying that about the symphony of all of our expressions being the notes, the instruments, and then I thought, and God is the silence between the notes. So that was my thought. Thank you. I'm done.
That's cool. I like that, Audrey. That's really beautiful.
It is, because you can't have music without silence.
Right? I love that. My mind is just like running away with this. Thank you for that, Audrey. It's beautiful. What a fun example.
This is John. I'd like to add a little something, not on that note,
please,
but on a different one. I like that how the thought of God cannot change. And in our lesson today, too, it was talking about our identity, that our identity never changes. God gave us that identity. And even though we can have an image of ourselves, as what we think of as our, you know, body and John and, you know, whoever we think we are, it's just that. It's just an image, but our true identity can't change. And that's, you know, the Son of God.
Yes. Yes to that. 100%. Thank you for adding that. And that's, I feel like, what our theme is in this section tonight, is that we are identified as these small senses of selves in these bodies here in this seeming level of form, and yet our true reality has gone on despite our having forgotten it. It hasn't changed it. It still is. That truth or reality still is, despite us dreaming. Thank you for that, John. I'll read the next paragraph.
Corinne, if you decide you want me to read tonight, I don't mind helping you. So just so you know.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. I think I'm good for this one. Thank you so much. I'm really loving it.
I thought you were going to ask earlier, so that's why I thought I'd jump in. But
oh, no. I was going to just say that, like, because you read, I want to, like, dialogue with you and put you on the spot, but I didn't want to put you on the spot.
Okay. All
that's
right.
All. Thank you, though. Okay. Thoughts seem to come and go. But all this means is that you are sometimes aware of them and sometimes not. I'm going to read that one more time. Thoughts seem to come and go, but all this means is that you are sometimes aware of them and sometimes not. An unremembered thought is born again to you when it returns to your awareness, yet it did not die when you forgot it. It was always there, but you were unaware of it. The thought God holds of you is perfectly unchanged by your forgetting. It will always be exactly as it was before the time when you forgot, and will be just the same when you remember. And it is the same within the interval when you forgot. The thoughts of God are far beyond all change and shine forever. They await not birth. They wait for welcome and remembering. So this is kind of fascinating. Thoughts seem to come and go, but all this means is that sometimes we're aware of them and sometimes we aren't. The thought didn't die when you forgot it. You know, this almost reminds me of Helen Schuckman scribing the course, and how, I think it was, I was reading an article in which Bill Thetford, the co-scribe, was being interviewed, and he described the voice that she heard as if it had been pre-recorded. Like, can you imagine, like, you know, getting this interdictation and it having this sort of, like, vibe to it, this feel to it, that it was pre-recorded, and it would just stop when Helen couldn't take down the notes, and it would begin again when she was ready. And it just made me think of that because of this idea that it doesn't go away when we forget it. It's still, that thought is still there, like waiting for us simply to acknowledge it. We're just unaware of it. But this is not talking about that. This is talking about just how the thought that God holds of us is still unchanged, even if it seems like we've forgotten it. So this thought of our perfection, our purity, our selfhood with a capital S at home in heaven, God, this is the thought that God holds of us. And so it hasn't changed despite our having dilly-dallied in some dreams. So that's really good news. That thought that God holds of us will always be the same, regardless of when we forgot, regardless of when we remember. And then in that whole period where it seems like it's not in our awareness, that thought is still held for us. So I think that's just beautiful. And I just love these last two sentences. They wait not birth. Excuse me, they await not birth. So the thoughts of God await not birth. They wait for welcome and remembering. I just think that's so beautiful. So I feel like this paragraph is just very comforting. We can take comfort in the fact that even if we don't remember the truth right now, which most of us, maybe we remember, you know, some aspects to some degree, but we're here in these bodies, and we can take comfort that even if we're not remembering the fullness of truth, that's okay. It still is. It's still there, and it's simply waiting for our welcome and our remembering. It doesn't need to be born. It is. It's just waiting for our welcome and our remembering. I just find that very, very comforting. Comments? Questions?
Yeah.
Christine?
The thought came to me, or it's been coming to me today. I am the light of the world.
Today's lesson.
Yeah, I'm actually doing the text. So.
Oh, awesome!
But in thinking about thoughts seem to come and go, and thinking about the thought God holds of me, of you, it just, that thought is just so comforting, and I could actually do the course every day with just that one thought.
Yes, I agree with you. It is so comforting. And I love your statement that you feel like you could do the course with just that one thought, just that one idea. I feel like there have been so many of those statements from the course that were, I'm right there with you. I feel that where some of these ideas sometimes have just such, there's just such a powerful reflection of the truth that it just feels like you could just stay with it. Thank you, Christine. Anybody else?
My thought is that there's nothing that we could do that would change God's thought of us. There's nothing, like all the things that we hold ourselves accountable for or guilty, or we feel guilty about, it doesn't change how God thinks of us.
Yes. What a relief, right?
Yes.
What a relief.
The thoughts that we have about ourselves are not the truth.
Right.
Unless they're the thoughts that we are being trained to remember that God has, that are our real thoughts, but
right.
All those ego thoughts, They're not true. They're not who we
right.
are.
Exactly. And exactly.
Guilty.
And as yeah. And as we shed those ideas, as we shed those ideas about ourselves, those self-concepts, those self-judgments, that helps us welcome and remember that which God is holding for us. So,
and I also just feel
awesome.
like these thoughts of God that God holds of us, I'm sure that other course students experience this where, I don't know, sometimes I just feel like this flash go through my mind of like this peace, this silence that just all of a sudden captures me, and I'm just held it still. My mind just becomes still in a flash, and there's almost like a flash of light in my mind. And I feel like that is, so the thoughts are not just actual like words, they're just like this recognition or this union. And maybe I'm stretching there, but I feel like that's God's thought of us, because it's almost like this joyous feeling that overtakes me.
Mm-hmm. I relate to that. It's funny, right before you said the word recognition, that was the exact word that came to mind for what you were describing. And I'm sorry, who is this that just shared?
Blanca,
I thought so. Thank you. Yeah, that's beautiful. Mm. Absolutely beautiful. Thank you, Blanca. Paul, do you want to read the third paragraph?
Yes, I am ready.
Thanks.
That wasn't me. I don't know where the beeping came from.
No problem.
All right. The thought God holds of you is like a star, unchangeable in an eternal sky. So high in heaven is it set that those outside of heaven know not it is there. But still and white and lovely will it shine through all eternity. There was no time it was not there, no instant when its light grew dimmer or less perfect ever was. Who knows the Father knows this light, for he is the eternal sky which holds it safe, forever lifted up and anchored sure. Its perfect purity does not depend on whether it is seen on earth or not. The sky embraces it and softly holds it in its perfect place, which is as far from earth as earth from heaven. It is not the distance nor the time which keeps this star invisible to earth, but those who seek for idols cannot know this star is there.
Mm. Wow. Thank you, Paul.
I'm glad I got that paragraph. That was awesome.
Why?
I loved it.
Yeah, it's so good, isn't it?
So great.
Oh my gosh, what stands out to you?
I just liked from the first sentence, the thought of God holds you like, the thought God holds of you is like a star, unchangeable and an eternal sky. Just all the visuals that the paragraph gave are awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. The visuals are so, so helpful. And how it goes on to say, so high in heaven is it set that those outside of heaven know not it is there. Now remember, we're not outside heaven, but we perceive ourselves to be. We believe ourselves to be. And even still, it's white and lovely, and it will shine through all eternity. So just as we've discussed already, that this thought does not change despite our dreaming, despite our being preoccupied with being a body, there's no time that it was not there. No instant when its light grew dimmer or less perfect ever was. Who knows the Father knows this light. And I love how it says, its perfect purity does not depend on whether it is seen on earth or not. And our biggest block to knowing this star, to recognizing and seeing this star, is not distance, it's not time, it's idols. So, okay, mind-blowing moment. This last sentence, it's not distance and it's not time which keeps this star invisible to us. So we often can get caught in statements like, oh, I have so much healing to do. Healing will come later, right? You know, I'm doing all this work now because hopefully I'll have the miracle down the road. Hopefully later I'll start seeing some results. It's not time or distance that keeps that star invisible to us. It's idols. It is our desire to place anything on our altar to worship that thing instead of God. And when I say thing, it could be, you know, anything. It could be beliefs. It could be thoughts. It's anything other than God. So it's idols that are the impediment, are the block for us for knowing this star. It's not distance and it's not time. So if you, like me, ever catch yourself and you are thinking like, okay, you know, doing lots of work right now, like lots of peeling back those layers I'm doing, you know, there's lots of fears here, like really got to do this work. This is why healing and miracles happen in an instant. It's not time that we need. It's to look, to seek for and look for the idols that we've interposed between that star and us. So what are those idols? You know, the body being like the biggest idol. I mean, we can name 1,001 things. So that was just a little aha moment for me with that sentence. And I find that a relief because if we think we have like, you know, eons to go, we just need to start seeking for that which we make into an idol and be willing to hand it over to Holy Spirit. John, I did see your very funny Facebook post about how the separation occurred over millions of years. And just, you mentioned about like, you know, however many millions of years ago, you know, when, I don't remember all the different names for the different breeds of human. Is that the right word? But your post was great. And just recognizing that, like, you know, hopefully we've already been on this path of the last, because the Course says, I think your point was that the Course says that the last judgment will occur over millions of years. And I think your point was that, like, you know, hopefully it's already been occurring. So, you know, we're approaching the time in which, you know, we fully see that star.
So yeah, Roger, or Robert had to remind me too that it actually didn't start with, you know, the human species or even before
right.
the human species that we developed in, but actually when the universe was born. So actually it's like 14 billion years old instead of millions of years. And like, well, hopefully, you know, time, and I know time's an illusion too, but, and I think it said something, I can't remember what he said about the last judgment too. And look back at that.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I loved your post.
Thank you.
I enjoyed it. Anybody have any comments or questions coming up about this paragraph, number 3, that we just read? Like Paul, I really appreciate the visual. All right, I will read paragraph number 4. Beyond all idols is the thought God holds of you. Completely unaffected by the turmoil and terror of the world, the dreams of birth and death that here are dreamed, the myriad of forms that fear can take, quite undisturbed, the thought God holds of you remains exactly as it always was. Surrounded by a stillness so complete, no sound of battle comes remotely near. It rests in certainty and perfect peace. Here is your one reality kept safe, completely unaware of all the world that worships idols and that knows not God. In perfect sureness of its changelessness and of its rest in its eternal home, the thought God holds of you has never left the mind of its creator, whom it knows as its creator knows that it is there. So what comes to mind at the moment, these initial sentences in this paragraph, beyond all idols is the thought God holds of you. completely unaffected by the turmoil and terror of the world. Now think for a moment, what is going on worldwide that everybody is terrified of, freaking out about, is coronavirus, right? It is just, this paragraph strikes me because it's so clearly saying that unaffected by all of this, beyond the terror of the world, the dreams of birth and death that here are dreamed, the myriad of forms that fear can take, the thought God holds of you remains exactly as it always was. And this thought that God holds of us is something that we are waking up to as we are performing miracles and being miracle workers and extending love and, you know, doing this work. And so I've been really tuned in lately to the course's use of the term vision and what spiritual sight shows us. And I'm realizing more and more that these miracles, these shifts in perception, it's not just that you see something differently, or even just, I mean, we use the term, you know, seeing with love, but that can still have such like an egoic interpretation to it. We're literally exchanging false vision for Christ's vision. We're exchanging seeing a world of bodies and being totally tuned in and plugged into that. We're exchanging that to instead see with our ability to see with spiritual vision, which is not done through our body's eyes. So the forms out there might still all look like, you know, they're going a little chaotic, but we can look out from a deeper space within, from that thought that God holds of us, and we can look out from that and join with that in every other living thing. And as we've said many times before, you know, that awakens the truth in others, it awakens the truth in us. Do I hear someone who wants to share? Anybody have anything you'd like to jump in and add?
Corinne?
Yes.
It's Blanca.
Hi, Blanca.
Hey. I just, you know, I've never shared this with anybody. I don't think I've ever shared it with anybody. Maybe with some close friends, but not any, like, course groups or anything like that. But I have had a couple experiences of Christ, what I consider to be Christ's vision, and...
Mm.
It's really kind of otherworldly.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I mean, I was actually seeing things, but it was in two separate instances, actual light rays coming from people, like coming out of them.
Uh-huh.
Like not like an aura or you know, like, but actual like rays streaming out from them. So anyway,
wow.
It's absolutely incredible, and it's real. Like, I mean, I've experienced it. So they're not, it's not just like a lovely idea.
Right. Right.
So anyway. I don't know why I got moved to share that, but
I'm so glad you did, because I want to pick up and run with it.
Okay.
So, I'm really glad that you did. You know, by the way, I just want to mention area code 719. I think it's your line. I'm hearing some like airiness. If you wouldn't mind muting your line, that would be amazing. Because I don't know if I mute anybody from my end, if you're able to unmute yourself. So that's why I'm hesitant to do it. But thank you. Thank you. You got it. So picking up with this idea, what Blanca just shared about vision, and Blanca, you just shared like a bells and whistles type of vision experience, like seeing light rays. That's amazing. Okay. So I had interviewed Robert Perry for a program that I was a part of just in January called the Presenter Series, and I had interviewed him several months before that. So if anybody on the call is part of the Presenter Series, you'd have to like go back into the archives. My interview with him was fantastic because he opened my eyes, and you don't even need to listen to the interview because he wrote like a really long article on vision that I could share with you if anybody's interested, but I'm going to sum it up right now. vision can be like these bells and whistles experiences that Blanca just shared, but they're way more common. Robert said he believes that vision experiences are way more common and we don't even realize that we're having them. And I agree with him because as I was talking with him, I started thinking, I was like, wait a second, like this is sounding awfully familiar. And just one of my simple examples that I've shared before on the call was when I was out for a 5-mile walk and I decided I was going to bless everybody that I passed. I was just going to, you know, bless them. And by the end of the walk, I was exhausted, right? So I might have even, I don't even remember if I wrote that in my book or not, but I was going on the same walk another time and spontaneously through me, as people passed me, I felt love for them. I wasn't trying to make it happen. I was just allowing it because that is what is in us. So I was allowing the love that was within me to extend, just to flow. And so as people passed me, I just like, I'd see them and I would just feel love in my heart. That is a non-bells and whistles type of vision experience. So it was just so incredibly helpful for me to realize that we can have more subtle experiences of vision. They can be much more big and profound, like the beautiful experience that Blanca just shared, but they're far more common than we realize. And that, I feel, is using the spiritual eye. It's using Christ's vision. When we're letting ourselves, instead of saying see with love, it's like feel with love. It's like you're looking with your body's eyes, but you're feeling outwards. That's a form of vision, and that's what I think we are receiving as we receive miracles. We are receiving this ability of a vision to see outwards with that love. I hope that just made sense. I feel like I rambled a little bit. You tell me, did that make sense? Anybody?
It did. Yeah, I really like both examples too.
Good.
I think the rays that she was talking about, is, the Course calls them the great rays, right?
Yeah. Oh, I love that quote, that phrase, the great rays.
I think it just confirmed to me that what the Course is saying is true. Not mm-hmm. just that we have this vision, but that we are actually the light of the world. Like that's what
yeah.
we really are. We really are light. We really are this abstract light.
Yeah.
So then,
I'm sorry, go on.
No, it was it was definitely the kind of experience where you feel like you almost can't stand up. You know what I mean? Like, it's
mm-hmm.
so overwhelming. But it just confirms everything that the Course is teaching.
Yeah, and that's why I love it, like, hearing your example. That helps me. Like, that's what I love about these calls is that as we, you know, share our experiences like this, it reinforces it for all of us. And what I was just going to add too is in light of, you know, what we're talking about and, you know, just what's happening in the world. And of course, as we know, it's always going to be something in the world, right? Like there's always something. And right now, the main thing, one of the things is this coronavirus. So can we, in the face of fear, in the face of, you know, I mean, the media's job is to spread fear. Other people are feeling fearful. Can we be willing, just willing, to see with vision, to plug into the star image that we just read, the thought that God holds of us? Can we be willing to plug into that instead of the fear? Because I feel like as miracle workers, we're being asked to hold steady and to remember that the Course quote says that the teacher of God, it's something to the effect of like teachers of God know that the dream figures come and go, shift and change, suffer and die, but their teachers of God are not deceived by the forms that the dream may take. So it's through our willingness that, you know, we can be willing to hold steady. Doesn't mean we have to do it perfectly. Doesn't mean we might not, you know, we might still fall off, but can we be willing? Can we be a force for holding steady when the world is incredibly fearful?
For it's actually like you just read my mind. I was thinking about trying to think differently or see different. I've made the mistake of watching the news a lot, and so of course lots and lots of fear about the virus, and it just came to me, I've got to see this differently. I've got to think about this differently. And I don't know, I think there's many lessons about seeing or thinking differently. And that's what you're more or less saying is, you know, let's see it
differently. Yeah. 100%.
Actually, this came to mind where I see the world uniting.
You
know, these countries are coming up with vaccines. They're doing it individual countries, but it's like a common bond. Everybody is working towards healing this physical problem.
But that's gave me goosebumps. That's quite a perspective shift to see this differently, and then to come to that never occurred to me about actually seeing the world uniting. That's beautiful. And that is definitely seeing this differently. So you're absolutely right that is our job. And who is doing that? You know, like, I'm sure there's other people out there who are not course students who are, you know, willing to not buy into fear, and they're not necessarily using course language, but, you know, they're wanting to hold steady. But this is what we're here to do, is to see differently, is to be willing to see it differently. I love that, Christine. Thank you so much. Seeing the world uniting. Let's focus on that. I love that.
Hi, this is Marianne.
Hi, Marianne.
So I don't think we can see differently until our mind is different, because what we see outside is only a reflection of what is inside the mind.
Mm-hmm.
So the miracle is a change of mind, which then changes the vision, or more accurate perception.
Yeah, I don't think I feel like that's what we've been saying. We're not ever changing our minds without the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that we're calling upon who is doing the exchange. You know, we're willing to see differently, and we are shifting and receiving what the Holy Spirit is like swapping, you know, like we're handing the fear, we're getting back something different, and that has to be done through Holy Spirit. So we can't try to see different on our own. On our own. Is that
right?
Kind of what you were saying?
Yes, we can be willing to see differently, but we can't
exactly.
do it on our own.
Exactly. Yes. 100%. 100%. And miracles too. Okay, just to add one other little inspired thought that just came up. Remember too that the far more frequently referred to definition of miracles in the Course is not the shift in perception, but it's the expression of love. So Mr. Rogers, I think, said in times of, you know, disaster, look for the helpers. we can look for the expressions of love that are coming up as a result of this. And again, I know that sounds like maybe it's doing something apart from the Holy Spirit, but we're always keeping the Holy Spirit in mind. So thank you for that. Thank you, Marianne. Anybody else? I think we have one paragraph left.
This is Jana, and I just want to kind of piggyback on a little bit of what Marilyn said.
Marianne, yes.
I'm sorry, Marianne. And also what you said, one of the things I've noticed when I'm choosing love and I'm in that you know, being willing to choose love, and it totally makes sense. Many times the people that I run into are that have also chosen love, the love that the Holy Spirit extends through me and the love that the Holy Spirit extends through them kind of enforces each other, and it's grown. Whether it be someone's holding the door for me when I'm walking out of a building, and our eyes meet, you know, or energy meets, and it's like we recognize each other, and they may not even be aware of it, but there's a subtle energy where when they're expressing love and I'm expressing love, it compounds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think then it kind of goes out like ripples in a wave.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't just end. And I just, for some reason, I just feel compelled on the vision part, and probably because I would like to have a safe place to share, because I have experiences that I can't explain a lot of mm-hmm. times. And this has happened to me twice now where I'm totally awake, but the room is dark. It's at night. I have issues with insomnia a lot of times. But I'm totally awake, and my eyes are closed, and I still see.
Mm.
I see the room, even though my eyes are closed. It's a little baffling, and, you know, it's low light, but my eyes are completely closed. I'm not slitting my eyes open and looking. I'm looking through what appears to be through the eyelids. Sounds weird. I know. I can't explain it. But what was explained to me, and there might be more to it than that, but when I asked the Holy Spirit about that, as it was explained to me, it was to let me know I do not see with the body's eyes.
Mm.
I see with the mind. I anticipate I see with the body's eyes, but that's not how we see. That's not how we hear.
Mm-hmm.
The mind is what is what propels what we see, hear, and experience.
Wow. Wow, Jana. Thank you for – I am – so grateful that you shared this again. Hearing your experience is just reinforcing for me. What a beautiful, beautiful message that you don't see with the body's eyes. And it doesn't sound weird at all. I mean, it's different from obviously what the world says is our experience when we lie down and close our eyes when we're in bed. But it doesn't sound I'm very grateful that you shared it. So thank you for trusting us enough to feel moved to share. Wow.
Yeah, I'll just share. That's not weird at all. At all. Not at all.
No matter what my tells me, I'm not weird, right?
Right.
Just confirmation on that.
That is right. That is right. Thank you, Dana. Wow. Okay, I guess, Paul, do you want to do the last paragraph?
Sure. All right. Where could the thought God holds of you exist but where you are? Is your reality a thing apart from you and in a world which your reality knows nothing of? Outside you, there is no external sky. No changeless star, and no reality. The mind of heaven's son is in heaven is, for there the mind of father and of son join in creation which can have no end. You have not two realities but one, nor can you be aware of more than one. An idol or the thought God holds of you is your reality. Forget not, then, that idols must keep hidden what you are, not from the mind of God, but from your own. The star shines still. The sky has never changed. But you, the Holy Son of God himself, are unaware of your reality.
Thank you, Paul. Oh, there's a couple of things I feel moved to emphasize from this paragraph. Going back to what we were just talking about with coronavirus, just to be totally 100% clear, coronavirus is an idol. It is an idol, and you can be aware of that, or you can be aware of the thought God holds of you. One of those is your reality, and one of them is completely, completely false. And just building off of that, the purpose where it says, forget not then that idols must keep hidden what you are. The purpose of coronavirus is to keep hidden what you are. The purpose of any form of conflict that you might be facing or experiencing, any difficulty that you feel like you're going through right now, the purpose of it is to keep hidden what you are, not from the mind of God, but from your own. So I just had to be perfectly clear about that because that struck me as Paul was reading, just thinking about our prior discussion. So outside of you, there is, outside of you, there is no eternal sky, no changeless star, no reality. It all is within. And so that's where we need to look, not outside. I also want to emphasize where it says you have not two realities, but one, nor can you be aware of more than one. So, wow, we have a choice. Of which are we going to be aware of idols, or are we going to be aware of our true reality, the thought that God holds of us?
Yeah.
The star shines still. The sky has never changed. Yes, Carla.
When you're finished, I'll say something.
Yeah, go for it. Go for it. We have a couple minutes. I'm
okay.
Done.
Thank you, by the way. I wanted to say that what the reading brought up for me is the idea that I'm looking for my wholeness, completion, and perfection. I've forgotten that I'm whole, complete, and perfect,
mm-hmm.
and I'm trying to use those idols to remember. That's what this whole section just said to me, that
mm-hmm.
I'm looking for what I already have. So, again, it goes to the prayer in the song of prayer where it says the most perfect prayer to ever say is help me to remember what I already have. So, again, it just shows here I am again playing with myself because I'm trying to remember what I already have, but yet wanting the experience of separateness, my ego, and just freaking myself out when if I could just calm down and ask for the Holy Spirit to help me to know the truth, I'd be all right. So,
mm-hmm.
again, another perspective. The book just continues to read circular. Repetition,
right.
Repetition, repetition.
Right. Like, finally, we'll let it sink in. Let's say this again. This way tonight. Oh, amen to everything that you just said. Yes, yes, yes. That
mm-hmm.
was beautiful. Oh, so here we are at the end of our section. Yay, we did it. We have 1 minute. Any final comments, thoughts, inspirational, anything from anyone?
I have a question.
Sure.
I was just wondering, is there anything in the world that is not an idol?
No. the whole purpose of the world, it's all an idol. It's all there to make us forget who it is that we truly are. The closest part of reality that it has is any part of it that we look upon with love. So that's our job as miracle workers. And I think honestly that that's a part that sometimes we can forget about as core students. We're like, oh, the whole thing's just a dream. It's an illusion. You know, it's all an idol. None of it matters. But what matters is what we look upon with love. And it's through looking upon it with love. And what I mean by that is my turning to Holy Spirit and letting Holy Spirit awaken in me that faculty for seeing, that ability to see with vision, with spiritual sight, that is what heals the world. That is what awakens others and in turn awakens ourselves. So great question. And it's sometimes a little startling of an answer to hear, but so be it. That's why we like getting hardcore on these calls.
Yeah.
We don't have it any other way. Oh, all right, everybody. Thank you so much for joining and your joy and your holding the space for one another. I love you all. Thank you, Paul, for being my co-reader. I loved that, and we're going to be doing that again. That was like a really nice treat for me. Thank you, everyone. I love you all. Have a good night.
Love you, too.
Thank you.
Good night. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Good night.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.